Okay, let's go in our Bibles, if you will, now to Exodus chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 11 through 19. Exodus chapter 2. We're in the series about Moses discovering God's faithfulness in life's journey. I'm glad God is faithful in our life's journey. And we discover that in Moses' life, and we're reminded of it in our lives. And today we want to talk about Moses when he is in Midian, in the desert, and his developing a genuine walk with God, something that every believer needs, amen, a genuine, close, intimate walk and fellowship with God. Now, if you don't have one of the pupils' books, and if you left yours at home, don't get another one. Just take notes. But if you didn't get one and you'd like to have one, would you raise your hand? I think we have some available. Anybody? Right up front here, Brother Larry. Bring one up here. Anybody else need one? And, okay, Brother Bill needs one. And right up here. Anyone else? I think that's about right here. Okay. All right. If anyone else needs one, let me know. I think we're about out of those now. We may have to order some more if someone needs them, okay? But that's for you to keep, and you can go over the questions at the end of the lesson. And that'll be a good mental exercise, spiritual exercise for you to come up with those answers. And there are no patent answers. Some of them are different depending on who the person is. But you can go over that, and hopefully it'll be a learning procedure and process. And sometimes it's good, just use this material as a devotional material while we're going through it in your family, unless you already have some that you're using. Of course, Dr. Barber's book is the best one, and you can go over and over that one again and again, okay? It's the best one. But if the Lord should lead you, you might go to something like this and study it and think about what we've been teaching and what's going on in Sunday school. And that way it'll be more than just some kind of routine practice for us. All right, Moses in the desert. Last week, Moses made a choice. It was a hard choice. It wasn't an easy choice for him to make. Suppose you were Moses and you had the chance to be royalty and stay in royalty and pleasure and luxury the rest of your life. Most of us would have a hard choice for that. But now we're looking, he made his choice. And today, as we look at his life, he's a fugitive. He went from being in the palace in royalty and being, as it were, the son of Pharaoh, although adopted in a sense, he still left all of that and he became a shepherd on the backside of the desert, down at Midian, down close to the Red Sea, the southeast section there, and very desert-like and it was quite a contrast to where he had been and all of the luxury and pleasure. But the good thing was that God did not forsake him. Now let's look at these verses, Exodus 2, beginning with verse 11. Let me just read these right quickly. And it came to pass in those days, verse 11, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. Two Jewish men were striving together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. And now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs with water to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came out and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that you're come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock. And he invited him to come and be with them, and some great things happened as a result of that. But God did not forsake him at this time, even though he made a choice and took a stand. God honored that. Now, first of all, we look at the fact that Moses was alone. He was alone. He was there on the backside of the desert alone. Loneliness is a common struggle that we have from time to time. A lot of people, most of us can say, yeah, I've had those times that I'm very, very lonely. Some of you may be feeling that this morning. A great depth and experience and emotion of just being lonely for whatever reason. But loneliness. And it's a common thing. Paul Tournier, who is a Swiss physician and an author, called it this. And as he described loneliness, he said, the most devastating malady of this age. The most devastating malady of this age. Thomas Wolfe, an American novelist, said this, loneliness is the central and inevitable fact of human existence. It is the essential and inevitable fact of human existence. So I think we can all say that we experience extreme loneliness sometimes during our lifetime. 20% of the Americans last night, 20% of them ate their evening meal alone. They figure that somewhere around 20-25% ate their meal alone. A postmaster general back in 2004 decided to come up with a stamp to honor Janis Joplin. And this is one of those forever stamps. And it was a forever stamp because of the music icon series that they had. But Janis Joplin died at age 27. She had an overdose of heroin and took her own life. She was very egotistical. She was very self-centered, self-important, outspoken, and all of that. But it's reported that she said this, and I quote it, being an intellectual creates a lot of questions and no answers. You can fill your life up with ideas and still go home lonely. All you really have that really matters are feelings. That's what music is to me. And many times those who knew her said she seemed like a very lonely person, yet all the whole world knew who she was. And people would come to her concerts. By the way, it's not just widows and widowers who are lonely. Sometimes widows are lonely and widowers are lonely, that's for sure. And that's part of it. But also, sometimes it's the rich people. It's the very famous people that are very lonely. And even sometimes we depend on our friends and our family to keep us from being lonely. And sometimes known to God as to the time or why he does it, God allows our human support system to break down or to be removed. And why does he do that? Why would he allow such a thing to bring us closer to him, to make us get along with him? And sometimes that happens when he allows our human support system to be removed so we can hear him and then not only hear him but obey the Lord. We can't always see God's hand in what's going on. Many times we would say, and I could say, I really didn't see God's hand as it was going on. And yet, God in his sovereignty, in his plan for your life and my life, had put those things in there, allowed those things in our life, whatever it may be, in order to bring us closer to him. But God's always there. David, the psalmist, said, no man cared for my soul. Even David felt sometimes that just nobody really cares about me. And most of us maybe have those times. The psalmist said this, and this is in your book, I think, Psalm 142, 4 and 5. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto the Lord. I said, O Lord, I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. It made him turn to the Lord when he felt so lonely. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's why we shouldn't be alone very long periods of time. We ought to realize, hey, Jesus is with me. He's there. No matter what, He is there. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. The Lord cares for you. How many of you believe God cares for you personally? Say amen. Or raise your hand, either one, doesn't matter. But God does care for you, and we have no reason to be alone. Cast our cares upon Him. Webster Dictionary says loneliness is sadness from being apart from other people. Sadness from being apart from other people. Every once in a while, my wife and I get very lonesome to see our kids in Virginia. And if airplane tickets wasn't so expensive, we'd go up there more often. But we get a little lonely to see them once in a while. And that happens sometimes. We're separated from them. But it's not just isolation, nor is it just solitude, being alone, that always would be the thing that would make us lonesome. Sometimes we can be surrounded by people all around us and also at the same time be alone. There are people everywhere around us, but we feel lonely. On the other hand, there are times when we are all alone by ourselves, but we really don't feel lonely. Why? Because we're having time with God and we're spending time with God. Some of the most favorite times that I have in my life is when it's just me and God alone, nobody else around, anything else, but just God and myself. And those are wonderful times where even though I'm alone, I'm not alone because God's with me in that sin. So we have loneliness, and loneliness is there. But Jesus, the Bible says, often withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed and went to the Father. Now, today we live in a nation of entertainment, don't we? Every kind of entertainment in the world. You can get it on Facebook and Hulu and Netflix and all kinds of stuff that's out there. We have all kinds of entertainment that are there. But I think sometimes a lot of our entertainment is used to escape loneliness. It's some form of escape. And a lot of people struggle because they really don't want to give God their attention. So they go to these things when they're lonely instead of going to God. And that's a mistake. We don't need to entertain ourselves out of loneliness. We need to go to God. And we have the social media. We have movies, all of that, listening to music. Sometimes we substitute that for being with God. And God wants us just to be with Him. And I think if you really love God like you ought to love God, you'll love the time alone with God. I mean, it'll be important to you. It'll be something that has great meaning to you when God has your full attention and we cherish that time. See, Austin Miles understood this real well when he penned the wonderful song, "I Come to the Garden Alone." How many of you have heard that song, "I Come to the Garden Alone"? I can remember as a little boy, back in a country church, a guy would come and sing a solo, and he always would sing that one, and everybody wanted him to sing that one. And I remember that one, what a wonderful song it was. But God has prepared great leadership in times of loneliness. We don't have time to go into detail of each one of them, but Abraham, there was a time when he was alone with God, and God prepared him, just like Moses, Abraham. And then Jacob, when he wrestled with God. And, of course, Moses here. And then David sometimes, when David was alone with God. And then Daniel, who was alone. He was very alone with God in the lion's den. It was just he and God in the lions. But God was with him. And Jesus would get alone with his Father when he was in the wilderness. And he was alone with God in the garden when he prayed about letting the cup pass from him. And then he went on to the cross. There were those times of loneliness that God spoke and God made himself known to people. John was alone on the Isle of Patmos. But thank God we have the book of Revelation, amen? And I'm glad for that. And so in the writings that he gave us, so we thank the Lord for that. And so God uses similar times, if we'll let him do it, in our lives when we have those times of loneliness to speak to us and then to speak through us. So, A, in your outline there, he was exiled from Egypt. He was exiled from Egypt. He had defended a Hebrew brother, and now at 40, he's by himself, without home, basically without family. And yet he had faith in God. I believe in his soul he knew that God would lead him back someday to Egypt, would lead him back there for some cause that was known only to God. But he took his stand and went to the backside of the desert for those 40 years, and God did not forsake him. The psalmist said, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence?" Psalm 139:7. There's nowhere you can go from the presence of God. And though he was on the backside of the desert, he was in God's presence. And wherever you are, you're in the presence of God. When you travel overseas some and go to foreign countries, I think it's an exciting thing wherever you are, whether you're in Israel or Egypt or the Philippines or Africa, wherever you may be, God's still there. And, you know, you can just fall on your knees in your motel room and God's there. And God's everywhere. And you can't hide from God. And you don't really want to hide from God. And so we can never be separated from God. And I'm glad for that. God loves us. Romans 8:35-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, Paul said, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things in the future, things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that good to know? We can never be separated from God. God loves us. And so we don't have to be lonely, but when we are there, God can speak to us if we let him. We need those desert times. But sometimes when we have those desert times, I promise you this, the devil will attack you. When you're going through a time like this, a time when you're sort of alone and you may be feeling that loneliness, the devil will attack you and do his best to discourage you and keep you from what God wants you to do in your life. But these times, if we'll let them, can be beneficial and help us to be stronger in our Christian walk as we walk and serve the Lord. And those quiet times, we'll get away from all the distractions that we have. We have a lot of distractions, as I mentioned earlier. We just need to get away from those things. The deadliest rail crash in 15 years occurred at Chatsworth, California. There was a Metrolink commuter that went head on into a freight train. 25 people were killed. 135 were injured. 81 of those 135 were injured critically. All of that. And here's the reason that happened that day. This tragic event resulted from the engineer's distraction as he texted a teenage train enthusiast. He was texting a teenager about trains, and he failed to see the red light, the stoplight that they were supposed to see, and went through it and then headed head on, simply because he was distracted. And sometimes because we say so distracted, we don't spend any time with God in alone time with him and turn to him when we're lonely, sometimes it creates a crash in our lives too. And it's sort of hard to unplug in our society, isn't it? We've got so many gimmicks, so many devices, so many things out there that we can do, buttons to punch and videos to look at and just ad infinitum over and over, going, all of these things. And sometimes it's hard to disconnect from all of those. And God allows those times sometimes to make us do it. But we need to disconnect from them. We need to spend some time alone with God. If you don't do that regularly, you're going to crash and burn. You've got to do it regularly on purpose. Put it in your calendar that you spend time with God every day. One of the reasons so many decisions are made at a Christian camp is because the camps don't let them bring all of their devices with them. And all of that, because it's really hard now because telephone, you can do everything, go to Mars and back, whatever you want to do. But they get rid of all that stuff and get them isolated from their peer group and all of that, and they can preach to them, and so many lifelong decisions are made in those quiet times. And that's important, and we need those times. So that has to be done. We have to focus on God. And then B in your outline, he was employed in the wilderness. In verses 16 through 22, we won't read them all now, but we've gone through them, part of them. We know that he went there and helped those women. He was by himself, and the women showed up at the well. And he decided to help these daughters of Jethro. And this shows that he had a heart to serve. Remember, he had been in royalty. He had been used to being served. Now he shows us his heart. He helps these women, stands up for them, and helps them get back home early. And their dad asked all about that. I think it's great whenever we see the need and take the lead, as somebody says. We need to have the heart of Moses. We need to look around. We need to ever be looking around us and see people that are hurting, people that are lonely, people that are suffering, people that are going through trials, and not just forget about them or maybe pat them on the back and say, we're going to pray for you. Stop right where they are and pray for them, whatever it is. That's one thing I learned from Dr. Barber after I came here, was if somebody asks you to pray, and he usually says, well, let's just pray right now. And I thought that's pretty good, so I mimic that. I hope he doesn't mind, but at any rate, I think it's a good thing to do. It's a good lesson to learn. And look for people that are hurting. Don't just look for your best friends every Sunday. Look around. People are hurting. And see lonely people and go to them. And when you know about them, if you have the prayer list, you've been praying for them anyway. And so you should know about going there and doing that. And accept these opportunities to serve others. And God will develop our skills and use our skills to serve others. That's what he did with Moses. And then Roman numeral 2, Moses was humble. He was humble. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth, Numbers 12:3. He was a meek man. Meekness is a strength that we need. Meekness, someone has said, is strength under control. And that's what Moses was, strong, but strength under control. And that's what we need in our lives. After these 40 years of exile, the first 40 years, he learned he was somebody, and then the next 40 years he learned he was nobody. And he was a servant, and he was meek, and he had to serve, and he did serve the Lord. And so God honors the humble. You have those verses there. You can read them later. A, in your outline, he was no longer a prince. He was no longer a prince. He was royalty. He was learning all the wisdom of the Egyptians, Acts 7:22 says, and was mighty in word and deed. He went to the University of the Sun, it was called. Even then, they taught that the world was round. And he had a great education, the best education you could have. But he had, because of a time in his life, you can argue whether it was self-defense or murder, whatever you want to. I think he stood up for somebody who was being mistreated. And maybe that soldier turned on him and then he defended himself. But at any rate, he, in that moment of anger, that took place and he became a fugitive. But God still had a purpose for him. And even though he ran because of fear, I think he also had faith. And Hebrews tells us that he had faith. Hebrews 11, 24 through 27. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 27 said, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So by faith he made his choice and did what he did. 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence, and they laid their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor down in order to do that. And they were not just kidding about that, and many of them paid the price so we could enjoy worshiping here freely today. Don't ever forget that. 5 were captured by the British and tortured. 12 had their homes burned and ransacked, and 4 of them had their sons captured, or either they died in the Revolutionary War. And whenever we take a stand for God, we may have to give up some social prestige, some prominence or possessions and all of that in order to follow his will for our life. B in your outline, he was now a shepherd. He was a shepherd. He went from being royalty to a shepherd, and he led 3 million through the Red Sea and the wilderness and all of that, and he was trained by God for those 40 years. God was doing something in his life, so he'd be a shepherd. He that is faithful, Luke 16:10 says, is in that which is least, is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. And the Lord says in Matthew 25, he'll say, well done to us if we've done the right job. So Moses was now shepherd. He had been trained by the Lord. 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And that's what God's looking for faithful people, faithful people. And we need that. And then Roman numeral 3, he was contemplative. He was contemplative. He was concentrating and contemplating, thinking about the future. So in the desert days, he learned to listen to God. And he is listening to God. And so again, I remind us, we need that solitude so we can hear God, and so God will have a time to speak and we can speak to God. Sometimes it's the stillness of the night, like young Samuel, and sometimes it's other times like Elijah when he was under the juniper tree. Other times, but God was there. And then A in your outline, he took time to remember and repent. He took time to remember and repent. He repented and remembered what God had done. And we have to remember that if we regard iniquity in our hearts, God's not going to use us. Listen, if we have a practice sin in our life, iniquity in our heart, God's not going to use us, and we're not going to have that relationship with him. We have to forsake it and turn from it. And that's part of what God says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. And the believers need to do that. Psalm 94, or 39 rather, verses 4 and 5. The psalmist said, Lord, make me to know my end, the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Lord, help me to know. So Moses looked at his past, his present, and then he looked at his future, and he was willing to listen to God to do what God wanted him to do. And then he took time, B in your outline, to reflect and to reform. Psalm 90:12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Help us to know how much longer we got to live or to estimate it, and then to get serious about applying our lives. And so Moses became a changed man with a changed outlook. He was willing to fight for his people, if necessary, to die for his people. And what we need to do is the same. And we need to remember, too, this is an important lesson, that wrong choices in the past do not disqualify us for future work for God. All of us have made some wrong choices in the past. That didn't disqualify us to do the work of God. Study what God said about David. David repented, got his life right. And God, when God would talk about Jeroboam, Rehoboam, and others, he would say that they were not honest and they were not godly like their father David was. Because David really got it right, and God could still use him. Now, he paid a price, but he got it right, and God could still use him. So let's close out with these thoughts, and that is this. The value of time spent with God. Oh, that God's people would spend time in this book and spend time in prayer. I don't mean, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Not that little ditty before you go to bed. But getting up early or staying up late, finding time and some time during your day where you'll spend an hour in prayer. You say, an hour? What would I pray about? Good night. I can pray an hour and still hadn't gone through a half of what I feel like I ought to go through. And almost feel neglected, like I'm neglecting it doing that. And that's not a brag. It's just a fact. We need to learn to pray and spend time in this book. Turn the television off. All those other things. Get alone with God and let God speak to our hearts. The value of time spent with God, and then realize God wants to mold us like Moses and change us. God's still working on me. You remember that little song? God's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. And so that's true as senior citizens. God's still working on us because he loves us. And our desire today ought to be to spend time alone with God every day. And maybe if you're already doing it, more time. Listen to him. Listen to his word. Listen to the Holy Spirit and what he's saying to us.